Now, in most ways, life is pretty much back to normal in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, including the return of in-person schooling for a couple of years now. But many students were affected by the pandemic, and schools are struggling to find ways to recoup years of learning loss related to virtual learning and other challenges. By 2022, the average school district's math score had fallen behind by about half a year. The average student's reading score was about a third of a year behind. That's according to research from Harvard and Stanford universities. And the latest national assessment tests also showed low points in math and reading for 13-year-olds. We're talking about learning loss during the pandemic and how schools around the country are trying to help kids catch up. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How did virtual learning affect your kids? Are you a student? Do you feel like you're behind? If you work in schools yourself, what kind of things are you seeing among your students? And are there efforts to try to help bridge that gap, to help catch up? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Alec McGillis is a reporter at ProPublica, where he covers politics and government. His piece on learning loss appeared in The New Yorker. Alec, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You really zoomed in on a particular public school district in Richmond, Virginia, to illustrate a lot of what a lot of the country's dealing with now. Big picture, what's going on there in Richmond?
Richmond is experiencing learning loss that's even worse than a lot of other parts of the country because they stayed closed especially long. They were closed, entirely closed, for that whole 2021 school year. So their students there did not come back until September of 21, which means that they were out of school, buildings for 18 months, and which put them at the far end of the spectrum in how schools responded. So they're dealing there with test scores that have fallen even more than elsewhere, students that are dealing with even more severe kind of social emotional learning issues, lots of issues with violence in the schools. And so they're really recognizing that they're really up against it and have been debating about how they should respond. And there's been a really interesting 2-year-long debate there over what they should do. And what the debate has come down to is whether they should somehow expand the school year, expand the amount of instructional time that students are getting in order to make up some of that lost ground.
And while Richmond may have seen the worst of it in some ways, they're not alone in asking these questions, right? Can you talk a little bit about what we saw nationwide when it came to test scores, learning, social development after school closures?
Nationwide, it's been incredible. You talk to the experts in the field, the education researchers, the economists, and they're kind of stunned by how dire the situation is right now. And it's not really being reflected in the national coverage of this issue, the way we're talking about this. It's to me, it's really one reason I set out to do the story was that it was striking how little attention was going to this, what is really an epochal crisis. I mean, students' livelihoods are going to be affected, you know, for throughout their lifespans, unless there's some more dramatic action taken. In this country, our income, our lifelong earning potential is very closely tied to learning achievement, to skills, even more than in much of the rest of the world. And so the economists warn that these students, this cohort of students and the communities in which they reside, are going to see actual, you know, real hits to their economic livelihood and their, you know, life fulfillment, really, as a result of these really steep drops. And it's not just drops for everyone. That's the key. We're seeing a huge growth in disparities. We had actually managed to close our racial disparities in education somewhat over recent decades. And we've made some real ground in that regard. And all of a sudden now we've just seen those disparities blow wide open again. It's really, really worrisome just how much of a reversal there's been in that regard.
I wanted to ask you more about that, Alec. What was it about virtual learning? Maybe it's obvious people had less or more access to the internet and home resources. What was it about that whole experience that seemed to widen those inequities again?
There are several factors, but that the overriding one that the researchers are now pointing to is that there's a pretty strong correlation between the extent of learning loss, the extent of these drop-offs in learning achievement, this lost ground, and the length of closures, pandemic school closures in various parts of the country. Various states and cities responded in different ways, and the places that kept school buildings closed the longest, stuck with virtual learning the longest, such as Richmond, Virginia, have experienced by and large the steepest drop-offs in achievement. And to the extent that those closures were especially long in our big cities in blue states, where a lot of Black and Hispanic students reside, you are now seeing their numbers suffering accordingly, with especially steep drop-offs. So that really is most likely the biggest reason for this very concerning growth and disparity.
We're talking to ProPublica reporter Alec MacGillis about his recent article, Can America's Students Recover What They Lost During the Pandemic? It appeared in the New Yorker. You can see it on the ProPublica website as well. You could join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is this an issue in your school district, in your own family? Did you see your own kid maybe fall behind some during the pandemic when it came to learning? What kind of things are, if any, are helping if you work in schools? Are there things that your district is doing to try to help kids play catch up if they need to? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Coming up, we'll look at some possible solutions, some challenges to solving this. You could join in, and we'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with ProPublica's Alec MacGillis about his recent article, Can America's Students Recover What They Lost During the Pandemic? Looking at learning loss during the pandemic, efforts in schools around the country to help kids catch up. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think would most help students and teachers deal with pandemic-related learning loss? What solutions do you see? What are you seeing in your own schools, maybe in your own family? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Alec, earlier you mentioned, Richmond looking at maybe a year-round schooling, other thoughts about ways to expand educational time one way or the other. What kind of solutions are people floating out there for this?
There has been a lot of federal money sent to the schools during and after the pandemic to try to deal with this crisis. In total, about $190 billion has gone to school districts to deal with various aspects of the pandemic fallout. And some of the things that districts are using this money for include intensive tutoring sessions with students, extended day programs, so adding an hour or so at the end of the school day, and some kind of expanded summer school. The challenge has been, well, the biggest challenge has been that we're suffering a teacher shortage in a lot of districts, and this extends to tutoring. It's really difficult to find people to do the tutoring, intensive tutoring that's been found to be, if it's done right, found to be quite successful. That's one big challenge. The reason that Richmond and a few other districts have looked at extending the school year calendar is that is a way to address this problem in a way that doesn't require getting more other staff. You basically are using the staff you have. You're simply going to be paying them more to basically teach more days during the school year, and you're taking what we already have in terms of regular school and basically just extending it to try to make up some of that lost ground. And the researchers say that this is probably the most effective way to deal with this huge crisis that we're now facing.
Let's bring out a caller now at 800-642-1234. Kevin is with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hey, Rob. All due deference to the guest. As a classroom teacher going through the pandemic, we found out the hard way that so much of teaching is just so face-to-face. It's the personal connection that makes the difference. Also, our curriculum is 2 to 3 years too advanced for what is appropriate childhood developmental levels. talk to students, talk to people that are 70 years old. The things we learned in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade back then, we were learning, they're teaching that now in 3rd grade. Why are we pushing kids so hard, so early, so young to succeed where that's where the struggle is? I think if we had more reasonable expectations for what is good for kids at the correct age, we wouldn't see this learning loss. And hey, parents, while we're at it, back up your school, back up your teacher, tell your kids to do their homework and tell them to unplug from their device.
Can I ask before I let you go, what grade do you teach?
I've been teaching 6th grade, 6th through 8th middle school for about 25 years.
Okay, so you're right in that standardized testing age that's been out there in the news lately. I mean, do you feel like your kids post-pandemic are struggling more than they did pre-pandemic, or not as much change as we're seeing in the news in your classroom?
What I'm seeing is a generation that has totally taken the wrong message from No Child Left Behind of, well, I'm a year older, I don't have to do anything, I get to go to the next grade because you can't leave me behind. We are also holding schools and teachers accountable to 12-year-olds who are not invested in necessarily showing us all that they can do.
Gotcha. Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there, Alec. First of all, I mean, I don't think you'd argue with this point about face-to-face teaching being more valuable, but the higher expectations he sees out there for current students. What do you think?
Well, what really struck me in the caller's comments was his mention of the devices, and that's something I'm hearing about from so many teachers now, the challenge that's presented by particularly by phones in the classroom and students being distracted by them. And that's just becoming a huge issue. And it's actually something that people point to when they note that we did see pre-pandemic, we started to see a flattening of scores of our, we had seen general growth in scores over the decades. And then we saw a definite flattening starting, and even some dips starting around, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14 in that period. And there's been some surmising that is connected to the invasion of the classroom by just device distraction. As far as the higher standards, I can certainly see the caller's point. There's also at the same time, there's been an interesting shift in the debate around standards where when you raise this issue now of the pandemic learning loss, you are definitely seeing some of a sort of rhetorical move, especially kind of on the left among progressive Americans, to kind of actually questioning the whole notion of standards. This notion that standardized tests are biased. We should not be basing too much on standardized tests. Students are learning in other ways that don't show up in standardized tests. And there's definitely been somewhat of a general shakiness of assumptions around standardized testing and how should learning be assessed and scored, and that's actually kind of made it somewhat hard to now muster real alarm around this huge pandemic learning loss, because even before the pandemic there was starting to be somewhat of a move away from the expectations and standards that we had kind of built up around standardized testing. And that really, I think, is one reason we're not seeing as much urgency as we probably should be around this current crisis.
Kevin, thanks for the call. We'll go to Kate now in Platteville. Kate, hi.
Hi. I feel like the previous call just kind of started to bring some of my question, started to speak to some of my question, and that is, how confident are we that these issues really are corollary with the pandemic? Or if what we really should be looking at is, while the pandemic certainly didn't help the situation, should we be looking at some other pretty major causes of these learning declines?
Kate, I got you. We don't have a lot of time left. Alec, what do you think?
There are other issues out there, including the social the the cell phones in classroom one that I just mentioned, but it's pretty clear when you look at the numbers that we've suffered incredibly dramatic drop-offs that correlate exactly with the year plus of closures in a lot of districts around the country. And so there just clearly was just a massive declines tied to the lack of in-person instructional time, all that time that students lost. And the question is how to now make that up.
Okay, thanks for the call. Just in our last minute, Alec, you mentioned it seems like there's some ways we're pretty sure to help these kids. They involve more time. They involve teachers who may not exist because of a teacher shortage. Are you seeing efforts that can overcome that challenge and give these kids the extra instructional time they might need?
Yes. I mean, what I found inspiring was in Richmond that there were a couple schools that now are going to be starting a month early this summer. They got the approval for a pilot program there. That the effort to do this district-wide fell apart for reasons that I described in the piece, a lot of resistance from various quarters in town. But at these couple schools, elementary schools, they're going to be starting on July 24th this month, a month early, schools that fell especially far behind with a lot of disadvantaged students. And it's going to be really interesting to see what these schools are able to do with that extra time to make up that lost ground.
Alec, thanks a lot for sharing your reporting with us today.
Thank you.
That's Alec McGillis, reporter at ProPublica, where he covers politics and government. He talked to us about his recent reporting on pandemic-related learning loss. You can read more. We'll get a link to his article up at WPR.org/Central Time.